wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Young folks, gather around so I can have a heart-to-heart talk with you all about a very personal matter. My subject is, how can one avoid fornication? Your conscience, and especially if it has been directed by the Word of God at a family altar, makes you feel the awful evil of that monster sin of fornication that swallows up our young people like the whale swallowed Jonah. To answer such a question, one must be ripe with age and seasoned by years of practical experiences. My approach is one of sympathy, for I have fought on that battlefield, and it is also one of militant fight. For I have seen the enemy make captive our promising young people long enough. I must get into the fight to rescue some of them. Young folks, I speak to you in fatherly counsel. Just like you are my sons and daughters, I have always been a practical man. The paint and beautiful fenders on a car never interested me. I want to see it work. If it won't stand the work test, it's no good. So what I'm teaching you is not fancified theory, but practical advice that will work to your good, causing you to avoid the shame and sorrows of that slimy road of fornication that smears its travelers from their lustful faces to their wrecked minds and bodies. Must every young person slip and slide on that slimy road? Is there no other way to live the teenage of life? My assignment is a big one. How can one avoid fornication? We are living in a fast age. Everything is speeding up. Not only have we learned how to produce an animal ready for market, and half the time our fathers did, but our very youngsters seem to be skipping grades, and they jump from the cradle to the days when sex interests them. This strange situation may be termed advanced, but it is actually a return to the heathen practice of child marriage. Cattle and hogs degenerate into a herd of scrubs when let run wild, for they bear young ere they're half grown. And so to produce a fine herd, we control them to be fully developed before they reproduce. This brings about strong, vigorous stock. If humans ignore this basic principle of generation, our race will degenerate as swift as water falls when the restraining dam breaks. You young folks do not want to be fathers and mothers at 12 or 14. Your children would be degenerates, and you would be totally unable to assume family responsibility. Does this mean that those teen years are to be given over to fornication, and then in your 20s settle down and marry? Your dirty life would make you unfit for a clean family life, for the stain of fornication penetrates and is not easily erased or forgotten. Have I not said enough to stimulate within each of you a personal desire to shun that deadly road of fornication? I hope so. Do you really want to walk in right paths that will bring a harvest that will pay off? Or would you enthrone your lusts and appetites and say, I want to sow my wild oats and to try all the thrills while I'm young? Do remember, God has said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God is not mocked. You can't sow thistles and reap wheat. If you ever, as I have done, dug thistle roots by the hours and handled wheat sheaves, grabbing thistles till your hands bled, you would know the anguish of that wild sowing. The painful harvest will make you cry like Cain. My punishment is greater than I can bear. But still you must bear it. No one will for you, though they have to bear it with you, for sin brings sorrow to all the family. Having shown you the folly and anguish of traveling that fornication road to the pit, my task is to show you how to avoid it. Will you avoid it by learning how to dance and going to the parties? The dance is the front door to the fornication slime pit. It approves the handling of the opposite sex, and by the sense of touch, it stimulates free love and passionate desires. It is fertile soil for the weed of lust and is as dangerous as to ride a bicycle on the thin edge of a high cliff. Don't trust yourself or endanger others on the dance floor, whether it be in a home or a ballroom. How can you avoid fornication? By taking a social drink? Alcohol stimulates immorality by breaking down one's sense of right and wrong. Alcohol destroys your resistance and makes you reason this way. I've gone that far, why not go all the way? The young man or young woman who will take a social drink will soon be in the roadhouse of shame. If you were offered dope that would knock you out by a wicked villain, would you so deliver yourself into his hands? Certainly not. Then have courage, young folks, to always say no to the social drink, lest you awaken out of your alcoholic stupor to find that you have fallen into that slime pit of fornication. How can you avoid fornication? By reading sexual books? The Bible deals with this problem in a holy fashion, but when you find literature that lightly handles that sacred relationship of husband and wife, drop it like a hot iron to the flames with it. Don't lease your ear as a garbage can for someone's filthy jokes, nor your mind as a dump for their sensual books. How can you avoid fornication? By having nude pictures and suggestive postures? The devil has already captured the TV to be his tool to ruin our young people. If you are not allowed to throw the family TV into the city dump, at least turn away your eyes from seeing its filth. The devil is the photographer and painter of all such, and if he can get you to look at such, he will corrupt your mind with so much filth it will take months to dig the dirt out. And while you are charmed with his pictures, he will rob you of virtue and decency. And when you awake, you'll find yourself on that Jericho road, robbed, wounded, and left half dead, even as our Lord Jesus described a certain young man. How can you avoid fornication? By having dates with them all and petting and loving up to the full? Or by going steady to make someone think you're in earnest to marry them so that you can take liberties with them? You will only lead them into fornication. But not only so, you'll fall in yourself, and then you will hate and despise one another. And if you are forced to marry, you'll have a home of hate, for even marriage will not cover the ugly smear of fornication. Fornication is like tar. You can paint it with white paint again and again and again, and it'll come right through and show its black face. Young folks, shun the petters who love up everyone, and be on your guard against deceitful and vain promises. Watch yourself, lest you count lust as love. Cultivate deep and pure love, but watch for that weed of lust, both in yourself and in your company. How can you avoid fornication? By having just boy parties or only girl clubs. Such clubs often encourage within the sex the free exchange of the tricks and devices of sexual liberties, and sometimes they are the nest of the basest kind of sodomy, such as the heathen practice in their moral degradation. Perhaps by now my young folks think they must all get into some convent or monastery or some other religious retreat and wall themselves in from the rest of the people. No, no, no. You don't need to do any such. And if you did, you might find fornication on both sides of those walls. Walls never wall out sin. It jumps over the highest walls. A religion that resorts to stone walls and must imprison people is only admitting its utter inability to deal with human problems. A religion that won't allow one to listen to the other side is but showing its own false foundation. True Christianity does not take people out of the world to live decently, but enables them to live holy lives in the midst of a wicked world. We don't have to go to heaven to live godly lives. God has the answer. The answer for our young people, even in this fast and flirty generation. Where will we find it? The man who made the machine knows best how to fix it. Who made man? Who put within him the power of reproduction with its accompanying desires? It was God. Then in his instruction book, the Bible, we'll find the answer to our big problem. There we read, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." What then is the Bible's answer to our dilemma? I quote, hear it, "To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." It does not say every child, but every man, every woman. The Bible does not teach child marriages. God's appointment of marriage is his way to control the desires of reproduction. This means first, prepare for marriage by a clean life and character. Second, Be married to the right person at the right time. Third, enjoy the marriage relationship with a clean mate, a nice home, and a happy family of children. This is God's answer. But is that all? If it were, you young folks would charge me thus. Preacher, you left us out at sea, on a ship without an engine or pilot. You left us hopeless. We already know we can't keep ourselves pure to be worthy of a pure mate, and how can we tell the best one to marry in the right time? We have seen divorces, family fights, and wrecked homes until it seems vain to even hope for better for ourselves. True, you young folks need a power and a guide, a savior and a friend. You need one who does know the right one for you to marry and who can make your home a real nest of heavenly love and joy. Young folks, you need Jesus, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. If in pride you think you have what it takes, you will fall into that horrible pit of fornication. None of us have what it takes. We all need the Lord Jesus. He's not just a savior to take old people to heaven, but to save you from your sins in those days of youth. I know, for I turned to Christ in my early teens. Oh, how I needed him. I went through a young man's life with Jesus as my Lord and Savior and my beloved friend, and he never failed me. He gave me the choicest wife, a real jewel. He blessed us with a home nest of sons and daughters, and for over 55 years, we have known the love and sweetness of that holy relationship of husband and wife in the Lord. God's answer for you, my dear young man or young woman, is Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and your Savior. Turn yourself completely over to him to be his, and he will put within you the Holy Spirit as the divine power to deliver you from sin and to lead you by day and by night. Your ship will still be on the rough sea of life, but your engine will drive through the stormy waves, and your captain will lead the way. When you have Christ for your Lord and Savior, the Bible for your chart and compass, and the Holy Spirit for your power and guide, when will that be? I hope you will, with heart decision, answer now, right now. May God grant it. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.